Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship. How many of you have a cell phone? Maybe the better question is there anybody here who doesn't have a cell phone? If you talk to my family, and I encourage you not to do that, you will find that I find myself to be cell phone challenged. I have one. If I carry it with me, it is rarely on. And so my family, who seems to be very adept at working cell phones and smartphones, I find that even if you have a smartphone's limitation is its user. And if you don't have it on, you don't receive messages and people don't call you. Now, the thing is that if you've ever had a cell phone and you keep it on, have you ever had a situation where it has gone off at an inappropriate time? Or you've been somewhere, right, where it's gone off. And maybe you're one of those creative people that have decided to have really creative ringtones, you know? And I've had this experience where you're ready to do a funeral and you're very somber and somebody's cell phone goes off. And its ringtone is rather humorous, to say the least. We've all either had that experience, it's either happened to you, or you've been around somebody that during a special moment, maybe you're having an intimate conversation with somebody. Maybe you're in a very special kind of quiet environment, and somebody decides to reach out and touch you through your cell phone, and your life gets interrupted. I think one of the things the reason that I'm not really that good with cell phones is because of the impact that you're always on. They're handy because you can reach out and call somebody in an emergency, but people can reach out and call you whenever, and your life often gets interrupted by some very inappropriate times. When I was thinking about Advent, and we think about, we can get into these routines and these habits of putting up our trees and getting our gifts and cards and doing all the things that we have. The thing that has consistently spoken to me this season is that Christmas is a season of interruptions. Of every character that we know, everybody that you know of associated with the Advent or the Christmas story, whether it's Mary certainly had her life interrupted. And Joseph, the Magi, they traveled from the east and went and found the baby. The shepherds, everybody that is a part of this story has had their lives interrupted. And yet so often it is for us that we want to flee interruptions. We do not want interruptions in our lives. We like the predictable. And yet, if the Bible has revealed anything, it's that God speaks to us in the unpredictable and through the interruptions. And so we've been looking at people and how they've responded to that interruption. And the challenge that I want to ask you this morning is, you have gathered here before God and before one another. Are you ready, honestly and truly, deep down, are you ready to have your life interrupted? I think most of us, for the most part, we say, oh, of course, if God would just speak to me. Are you sure about that? Are you sure you really want God into your life to disrupt the routines, to disrupt the patterns that you've gotten into? Maybe it's like a cell phone. Maybe we have it, we just don't turn it on. And so this morning I wanted to look at some other characters that you know very well, that had their lives interrupted, changed forever, but how their lives moved from the monotonous and the mundane and the boring to transformational. About how their story is told and retold because of how it inspires us. Of how we say, maybe deep down inside, that could be my life too. And so this morning, I want you to kind of let go a little bit of where you are now, the schedules that you've got, the things that you have to do, and allow God, in a moment of sacred union, to disrupt where you are in order to move you to where you could be. This morning, we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture as God reveals who He is through the shepherds. We're going to talk about how they had their lives interrupted and how maybe we can too. Will you join with me as we share what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own. And I know He has a purpose for my life. I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning in the 8th verse. The second chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of the faithful. Stir in us the magic and the wonder that is your birth. In Jesus' name, amen. If we look at this story, and we particularly look at the story of the shepherds, and we look at the story of Mary and Joseph, and if we look at the story of the other major characters that we find at Christmas time, and we allow ourselves to become part of that story, or at least see ourselves reflected in their journey, we find that at its very core, Christmas is deeply about an awakening. It's about awakening us to what is happening around us, about what God is doing in the world. So often it is that we can be so deeply grounded in the physicality of our world, of making money and of surviving and of making dinner, that we can lose the magic and the wonder that is at Christmas time, that is found in each and every one of us. For the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how the people that God chose were ordinary people. They were common people, Mary and Joseph and shepherds. And yet through them, God revealed something that I think we need to hold on to. The first thing that I hope that each of you comes to understand as part of being part of this fellowship is that there is more going on here than what you realize. It's so easy to say, but we're just a small church, or we're just here in the Mid-Ohio Valley. And yet, we're part of a global movement of what God is doing around the world, and we get to be a part of it. We have an important part to play, And God is using us around the globe as we collect resources to share in Haiti and in Liberia and wherever God calls us. We're sharing that message that God has already begun. We join that line of the saints that have gone before us, and we share it with those that will come after us. There's more that is happening here than what we understand. The second thing that we understood from last week about Mary's story is that there is more to us than what we realize. Mary, as she was called, first began by looking at herself and said, "But you don't understand, I'm only a virgin." And I wonder sometimes as we think of our own calling in life, as God invites us into his story, if we also don't respond and say, "But you don't understand, I'm only," insert your own name. God invites us because there's more to you. There's more that's waiting to be birthed. There's more to be explored than just going through the motions. How terrible it would be to come to the end of our life, to the end and looking back over all that we've done and said, "If only I'd have done this. If only I'd have taken that opportunity." There's more to you than what you realize. And finally, and especially today, as we think about the shepherds, you're far more important than what you know. God wants to use you in a powerful way. You are an important part of what God is willing to do in our world. As we get involved by sharing our gifts and our talents and our treasures, God is able to use all of us collectively. So we as a church are not just an institution, but we are a movement, a desire to share our values, our gifts, and our graces, and the joy of the Christmas spirit all throughout the year. We are important. We are a critical part of what God is doing. Do you feel that God is using you in a powerful way? There's a couple of things from this story, especially about using the shepherds. If you look up historically, you find that shepherds were often considered kind of the very lowest of the status scale. If you couldn't find anything else to do in life, you could at least stand out in the middle of the fields watching the sheep. And so the shepherds were often ceremonially unclean. They weren't really able to participate much in the temple worship. If there was nothing else that you could do, at least you could watch sheep. And after all, what is it that sheep really do? Now, historically, shepherds have often been chosen for a couple of reasons. The first of all, the angels come to the shepherds because they are kind of at the bottom of the strata. It's the idea that God is reaching out into their world and into ours to lift them up, to give them good news, and to change their life. The second reason is because throughout the Bible, Jesus is constantly being referred to as the Lamb of God. And so this narrative begins to unfold in Luke's gospel that God is coming to the shepherds to prepare and to reveal the next lamb that has been born to them. I also think it's because of something else that is a little bit significant for all of us. I think that the shepherds, because of their role, are really focused a lot on sheep. They're looking at things that are threatening the sheep. They're trying to keep them together. But their whole worldview is focused on this plane, making sure that the sheep are protected. And yet God comes into them and disrupts their life in order to elevate their view. So there's a couple of things that I think we can learn from this encounter that is important for all of us. The first thing is that God interrupts our life in order to disrupt us. It may seem pretty obvious, but oftentimes we have to be shaken out of the monotony of our daily life, of how we see things, of just going through the motions. I can imagine as a shepherd, your days were pretty much always the same. You watched the sheep, and then you guarded them at night, and then they got up and they wandered off somewhere else. And day after day, it was pretty much the same. And when you looked at your life, you might have said, well, this is all that I am. This is all that I'll ever be. I'll never be anything more than this. I'm a shepherd. And I wonder this morning, is there a part of you that deep down inside says, this is all that I am. I'll really never be anything more than this. Then God is willing to walk into your life. God's willing to come and disrupt your busy schedule in order to reveal more about who you are. Have you ever heard of this old phrase? If all that you have is a hammer, everything will look like a nail. What it means is if that's how you see the world, if that's what you have in your hand, if you feel that this is your identity, then you will interpret everything else that happens through that view. If you have a hammer, everything you see becomes a nail. If you see yourself as worthless, then everything else that you encounter will be interpreted through that lens. Sometimes God has to disrupt that mental image. And so I began by playing a little bit of a game with this phrase in your sermon notes. If all that you have are sheep, if you're a shepherd and all that you have are sheep, how do you interpret the world? Everything is for sale. What do sheep do? You raise sheep to make money. They little sheep give wool, and whenever they're no longer giving a lot of wool, they're very tasty. Everything that you see is for sale. But the thing is when that's your worldview, then so are you. If that's how you see life, everything is for sale, including you. What is my value? What are the values of those that are gathered around me? And what happens as we grow older? One of the great things about our church is we have people. Marilyn Croucher constantly is lifting up our shut-ins and those that are in nursing homes. Last week we gathered, she said, I think we gathered about 13 bags and delivered the bags to shut-ins. Because we want to constantly be reminded that as we grow older, our value is still as precious as it ever was. And we as a church reach out to them. But if you're a shepherd and all you see in world is your career and what you can purchase and your purchasing power, then everything becomes for sale, and so are you. If all you have are things, if what is so valuable to you or the things that you surround yourself are possessions, then everything can be replaced. If you've ever gone to the stores, especially I see this a lot in the grocery stores, you go to the grocery stores and you kind of go up and down the aisle, oftentimes they're trying to grab your attention by saying, you can get 30% more of this product for free. It's bigger, better, newer. You can have it supersized if you want. If all that you are is about acquiring the newest, the latest, and the greatest, then pretty soon you begin to realize everything can be replaced, including you. And you look at yourself and your family and one another as things that are fade away and lose their value. So God steps into the world of the shepherds, and he steps into our world to tell us something different. If you have God in your life, then everything that you see will become beautiful and glorious, including you. If you can go to the store today, and I don't encourage you to do that, but if you were to go to the store today and you stand in line at the checkout counter and you can look around at the people that are moving and you can look and see them through God's eyes as glorious and wonderful, maybe a little off base, maybe a little bit struggling with light and dark, but you can look into their eyes and recognize that God is doing wonderful things in their life as well, if we would just open up our lives. So the question is how do you view life in general? Is it filled with opportunities to make money? Is it filled with sheep Is it filled with what you can gather for yourself, about how much you can amass? Or is it about what God is doing in your own life? The choice is up to you. I also find in this story that God interrupts our lives, often to inspire our lives. The first thing that we find in this story as God interacts with the shepherds is, where does their gaze change? For the most part, they're stuck on the sheep, protecting the sheep. That's who they are. That's what they do. And all of a sudden, God calls them to look up. Look up and see the angels. Look up and hear the message. How are our lives being changed by the power of what God is doing, about his message? God is come among us. And so often we don't see it because of our gaze is stuck here on the horizon. Look up and look at the hosts and look at what God is doing. Poverty, we often think poverty is about financial need, but poverty is the loss of hope. You can deal with life if you don't have a lot of money, if you have a lot of hope that God is doing something in your life. But you can't deal with a life without hope, something that's living for, something that inspires you, something that motivates you to something ever higher. In Luke's gospel, he tells that as soon as the shepherds heard this message, they hurried off. They had found something that captured their heart and their imagination, and they gave up everything else to find out if it were true. They had a story, they had a hope, they had an inkling that God was doing something, and they rushed off to be a part of it. So often we invite you to be a part of what God is doing, to rush towards finding that hope and that joy that the shepherds found. And finally, we find that God interrupts our lives in order to transform our lives. At the very bottom of all that God does in our life is he's trying to awaken us from the slumber of just going through the motions of taking the easy and the comfortable way in order to find out more about who we are and about life in general, to transform our lives. And we certainly see that being played out here in the shepherds. The shepherds were people that just sat out with the sheep all by themselves on the outskirts of town. Nobody really wanted to see them. And all of a sudden, they have a story to tell. And it tells us that all who heard their story were amazed at what they said. Not only had they a story to tell, but they had found their own voice, their own willingness to share it and to share what they had experienced. I find so often that we as a church are the silent majority. We have a story that is worth telling. We have known who God is and what he's doing in our lives. You have suffered some heartbreak and some wonderful joys. We've overcome and we continue to experience God's grace among us, yet we have to find our voice. We have to find the ability to go out and share joyfully what God is doing. Because there are people that are out there among us that are waiting to be amazed. When they heard their testimony, each of them telling what they had saw and experienced and what they knew to be true, people were amazed at the change that it made in their life. So the challenge that we all have is to ask that question: what difference is it making in your life? Have you made the journey to Bethlehem? Have you really seen God among us? Do you know what that's like? So think about what God is doing in this season. There's more that is happening here than what you know. There's more to you than what you realize. And you are an important part of God's kingdom, created for this place and this time in order to bear witness to the truth, that the world may be amazed that God has come among us and lived among us. That's the Christmas message. That's the interruption that God invites us all to be a part of. And at the very end of this whole story, as Luke tells this story, He tells it at the very end, the shepherds went away praising and glorifying God. They had a song in their hearts. They were rejoicing. Their life wasn't, I've got to be an evangelist. They were overjoyed by what God had done. Do we have that joy, that passion for God in our life and for the future? Are you ready today to be interrupted? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the gifts of your presence among us, and we ask that you stir in us the spirit that moves. In Jesus' name, amen.